You mentioned Bayless Jones already, which he is just falling down this depth chart. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make the roster at this point. I mean, I know it's a little early, premature to say that, but I mean, I wouldn't be entirely surprised because of everything that they've done to upgrade at wide receiver. It's insane. But especially like looking at Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney, two guys who this is the last year of their deal. Tyler Scott is a very Darnell Mooney-like pick, where if the Bear, you know, because we know right now Darnell Mooney's recovering from that ankle injury. We don't know how quickly he's going to be back. So I think Tyler Scott is definitely someone who I feel like could eclipse him. I feel like they could move on from Mooney. It'll be really interesting to see because it's going to come down to this season. And, you know, there's only one ball and there's a lot of players to go around, not to mention they have a top running game, which they're going to continue to pound the rock. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. But I mean, Scott is just a speedster, Olympic level, and it's insane. He's going to present a vertical threat on this offense, and Justin Fields is going to love him. I feel like he didn't benefit from having a great quarterback at Cincinnati. So now imagine when you have Justin Fields, who is someone who is really good at throwing the deep ball. You know, contrary, a lot of people didn't get to see that at the NFL level yet.
Welcome to the show. Ryan O'Leary here along with my good friend Alyssa Barbieri. It's the Bears Wire podcast. We're brought to you by the USA Today Network and available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. If you can hit subscribe for us, we'd appreciate it. Alyssa, how you doing? Congratulations on getting through draft weekend.
Thank you. I feel like I should be wearing one of those shirts that says I survived the NFL draft. Yeah. I mean, it's always fun. Like, I mean, when the draft rolls around, especially like night one, and it was crazy too, that first round. It just felt like you're watching a movie and it was like watching draft day pretty much, just like the insanity that was going on. So, and it's crazy how much work and preparation goes into the draft, like even during the season, but like in the off season leading up to the draft. And then 3 days later, it's over and, you know, here we're at. Or here we are. And I mean, we have a lot to discuss because I think the Bears definitely got a lot better after the 2023 draft.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss, but nobody does it better than you guys. The, you know, USA Today's Draft Wire, Bears Wire, all the wire sites, just the amount of articles you're all able to get up in real time, Alyssa, is super impressive. So once again, kudos to you guys. And well, kudos to us, because here's how we're going to start the show. That's right. Bow to the bingo card. That's my guy, Troy Brown, ex-Patriot, helping us out there. I was at like a random Patriot Super Bowl parade, but he did this random commercial, Alyssa, where he played bingo with a bunch of old ladies at a bingo hall and he kept winning and he was bragging about it. And then an old lady put a pie on his chair and he sat in it. And that was the commercial.
That is amazing.
And I love that commercial. I can't find it. I think it was created sometime before YouTube existed. So we'll have to go with that. But yeah, we got bingo. Strikes again. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, we revealed in our previous episode that published on April 20th, our Bears Wire Draft Bingo card. It was the third annual card, Alyssa. And for the third straight year, we hit bingo on the right side of our 3x3 card. If you haven't seen it, go ahead and do a Google image search, Bears Draft Bingo. It pops right up there for you. And here's where we hit. We hit right down the right side, as I said, in the top right corner was any mention of Justin Fields. So if you heard the word Justin Fields, we took that square. And Alyssa, you texted me like well before the Bears pick at number 9. You texted me, oh, we just got Justin Fields. So I don't know if I heard it in real time at the same time you did, but do you remember when Justin Fields was shouted out on the broadcast? It was pretty early on, right?
I think it was pretty early on. And then also when it got to pick 9 and then they traded with the Eagles, like before the trade went down. And then even if, you know, if you hadn't been listening, and I was watching the NFL Network broadcast, and if you weren't, then we still got another mention of Justin Fields and a couple of our other things that led to this bingo. So yeah, it was pretty crazy. It's kind of like, okay, you can sit back and just enjoy the show now.
Yeah, I was very excited. You were busy, of course, like we just alluded to earlier. You're cranking away on the story about the Bears trading and then the Bears making their selection a couple picks later. I'm texting you that we just hit bingo, because down the right side, we had any mention of Justin Fields, Bears trade back, which we hit. and is very Ryan Poles, right? He doesn't care that he just traded back for number one overall. He'll trade back again. And that's exactly what he did. And then on the bottom row, right side, first pick offensive tackle. So there's our bingo going down the right side. The offensive tackle, of course, being Darnell Wright from Tennessee. So why don't you just give me your leadoff take on Darnell Wright being a Bear. I know you're excited. I know you loved Paris Johnson. You mocked him to the Bears, Alyssa. He was your number one choice. But I think Darnell Wright was kind of right there, right? Number two for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that Darnell Wright is the best right tackle in this class. And I think that the fact that the Bears went with Wright and that they say that they had Wright as their top offensive tackle on their board speaks to their confidence in Braxton Jones developing there at left tackle. But, you know, I was really happy with the pick because after I saw the Cardinals, you know, trading back up, I'm like, oh no, it's Paris Johnson. Okay, he's off the board, but still got Darnell right there. So, you know, and kind of watching everything that happened as well with like how Ryan Poles moved back one spot from 9 to 10 and choosing to pass on Jalen Carter. It was a situation that we had talked about a couple of weeks ago right here on the podcast. If you want to go back and listen. And both Ryan and I were like, we would take Jalen Carter. And I just wanted to see what would happen because there'd been a lot of talk about whether or not the Bears were going to take a chance on him. They had him in for a top 30 visit. Were they going to, you know, were they going to take a chance, roll the dice on him? And I just wanted it to come to a point where, you know, I didn't know what Ryan Poles was going to choose. You know, there are a lot of reports that, you know, the Bears would take him if he was there at 9. And then there were others saying that the Bears were going to steer clear. So I just wanted to kind of see what was going to happen. And it played out perfectly. There's Jalen Carter. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's happening.
Here it was we wild, go. Right? It did. It got you out of your seat a little bit.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm like, I thought they were taking him. I really did. But then part of me too, I think heading into draft night, I just felt Darnell Wright. Like even before the draft started, I felt like it was going to be Darnell Wright. They had been so high on him from the very beginning. And I mean, he's everything that you want in an offensive tackle too. I mean, you kind of look at Ryan Poles, a former offensive lineman. And one of the things he really talked about was, you know, bringing a little bit more nastiness to this offensive line. And, you know, when he took over, Tevin Jenkins was the only guy like that. Right. And so when you go out and you have you get Nate Davis, who has a little bit like that too, one of their free agent addition, and you get Darnell Wright, who, I mean, there was a quote we were talking about before the show where I think Darnell Wright was asked about, you know, if Justin Fields were to get hit late or something, like what would his response be or something? And he was like, well, they can catch me in the parking lot after the game. And I'm like, yes,
love it.
That is what you want to hear, because I still remember back to Justin Fields' rookie year. My goodness, that poor kid and everything he had to go to. But I think back to that Vikings game at the end of the year, and he got hit late out of bounds, and Tevin Jenkins was the only guy to run up and to defend his quarterback. And that's something that had been missing, that mindset. So when Ryan Poles took over, it's obviously they want these athletic guys that are going to be able to run this outside blocking scheme, but they also want those tough guys that are going to stand up for their quarterback and defend him like they should. And I think Wright fits the bill there too. So, I mean, I'm very happy with the pick, and it's my favorite pick that they made in this draft, because you talk about going out there and making a move for Justin Fields. You know, we forget that for so much of the offseason, because now we're at this point after they had traded the first pick where people were questioning whether or not the Bears were going to roll with Justin Fields. And it just seemed insane, right? When you see everything that he's been through over the last 2 years and what he went through last season, and how he was still just electric, and he emerged as one of the most dangerous weapons in the NFL. There were legitimately people that were doubting whether or not the Bears should move on from him in this draft. So, I mean, it's crazy to think how far we've come from that moment, and then trading the number one pick and really solidifying their belief in him. And then you look at everything that Ryan Poles has done this offseason. I mean, they are building around him. So I really, obviously, I love Darnell Wright, the football player. I love the decision to go after, obviously, get a tackle, because that was the one glaring hole left on offense. I mean, it's crazy to think that the offense is in such a much better place than the defense at this point. So very happy with the pick overall. And yes, I mean, I'm really happy that we got to that moment to see what were the Bears going to do with Jalen Carter being on the board. And opted to pass on him. But not only did they opt to pass on him, they landed a fourth round pick for next year for moving back one spot with the Eagles. So I count that a win.
Yep, not bad at all. And I think that's a great point by you, right? Like, they're all in on Fields. They added DJ Moore. It's easy to forget about him, but he's, you know, we have a number one receiver. It's DJ Moore. And they've already addressed losing David Montgomery too, right? Signing Deonta Foreman and then drafting Rashawn Johnson, which we'll get to later on in the draft or in our, you know, episode here. I'm sorry. So yeah, it's so true. And I think the quarterback he's happy about it, Alyssa, right? He tweeted for the first time in well over a month. It was a quote tweet of the Bears' first round pick of Darnell Wright, and he just wrote, "Yes, sir." So I think the quarterback is happy. And Darnell Wright, he's huge. He was the biggest tackle by far, right? 6 foot, or maybe not overall, but in terms of the top end guys that were projected to go in the first round, 6'6", 335 pounds. I mean, whew, he is huge. Hopefully Justin Fields could see over him. That's the only thing I'm worried about. At least Justin's mobile enough to get around him if he has to throw the football, because Darnell Wright's going to be, he's just a massive being there. So excited to see how that plays out. But yeah, Jalen Carter, I mean, I'll say this. I'm happy with the pick because I like that they're going offense a little bit. I like that they're supporting the quarterback. It was a big need, and I agree with you. Right tackle, you could just put Darnell Wright right there. You have Braxton Jones on the other side, and you got something going there. So I like it. I'll say that knowing full well that had they drafted Jalen Carter at number 9, I'd be here glowingly saying it was an A-plus draft for the Bears as well, because I did think that would have been kind of awesome to trade back from number 1 with the Panthers for that haul of picks and DJ Moore, and you still get a potential top 3 talent in Jalen Carter. It just would have been a home run. Again, you mentioned it. We talked about it at length in our last episode, but you know, Chicago clearly had their sights on Fields in the O-line, right? Otherwise, if we're being honest about who number 1 on their board was going to be at number 9 before that trade with the Eagles, I would imagine it's got to be Jalen Carter. If you're looking at who's the number one talent on your board, it's probably Jalen Carter. But I think they had their eye on O-line, right? I think they were going to go tackle, Alyssa, right? And that, because I just can't imagine they didn't have Jalen Carter as their top talent. They met with him. He's a freak. Like, we all know he was going to go in the top 10 somewhere. But I just think they made the decision, if he's on the board, we're going to trade him for value and go with the tackle.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because Ryan Poles was asked about that after night 1 about Jalen Carter being on the board. And he said he didn't really want to talk about it, but he did give a general statement about character always being an important thing for them.
Yep.
So I feel like I feel like before everything that happened in the offseason, I feel like he was one of their blue players at the very top. So if you were to tell the Bears that he would fall to 9, that would be insane, right? And they would definitely take him. But definitely think the character concerns were a real thing. They're not willing to take the risk on drafting him yet because they're still such a young and impressionable roster. So I think when you look at Jalen Carter going to the Eagles, that is the best fit, I think, because you do have a lot of veterans on that defense and that team. And I feel like that is the perfect landing spot for him. So, I mean, yeah. Of course, we would have let it have Jalen Carter. I mean, he just would have been an absolute monster on that defensive line. But I still like what the Bears did in getting Darnell Wright, addressing a huge hole at right tackle. And, you know, on day 2, they addressed the defensive line in a big way.
They did, yeah. And, you know, no Jalen Carter, but I'm not mad about it, Alyssa, because
bingo!
We got bingo again. You know what I mean? We got bingo again. So I can't be mad about it. I'm excited to have Darnell Wright. I think it's perfect. And you just segued it perfect, right? They did spend a pair of day 2 picks on a big nose tackle from Florida, Jervon Dexter, and more of like a long, athletic, pass-rushing defensive lineman in Zach Pickens of South Carolina, right? So what do you think about these guys? Do you think they get thrown right into the mix with some of these free agents that the Bears brought in? You have what, Andrew Billings, you have Justin Jones. I mean, Jones has only been with Chicago for a year. So how do you think the D-line kind of shakes out with these new guys?
Yeah, I really, like I said, like thinking back to, yeah, they didn't get Jalen Carter, but I think Ryan Poles really focused on the defensive line on day 2. And I mean, Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens were guys that I had, like, during all these mock drafts, Bears Wire, whether it was me or Nate or Jarrett, like we had these guys going to the Bears on day two, because we normally had them going tackle at that first pick. So it's funny that they got both of them. And I think it's important too that they did, because obviously at that point you just had Justin Jones and Andrew Billings were the main guys there along the defensive interior. So now you have two guys in Dexter and Pickens who I think are not only going to be key rotational guys, but I think that they're going to challenge for starting jobs pretty early on as rookies. And there's a lot of versatility with both of them. They've both played the three technique. They both played the one tech, the nose tackle. So, I mean, you can plug them wherever you want. Like, I mean, I know Jarvon Dexter was getting a lot of comparisons to DeForest Buckner, who was the anchor and the motor of Matt Eberflus's defense when he was with the Colts. So, I mean, it's really interesting to see exactly where they're going to line up. But I definitely think that, I mean, you look at Darnell Wright, he's an immediate plug and play guy. At very least, Dexter and Pickens are going to be key rotational guys that I do think they're going to challenge for starting reps, at least maybe even as early as the middle of the season. So, I mean, very, very happy that not only did they go Dexter, but, you know, round three, here you go, you get Pickens. So, I mean, the defensive line, there's still a big hole there at edge rusher, but I really appreciated that Poles didn't overreach because the board just wasn't falling that way. But when you are able to come out of this, out of day two with two guys that are going to be hopefully long-term starters in Dexter and Pickens, I think that that's a really good day for Ryan Poles.
Yeah, D-line was a huge need coming in. So to double down on that was cool to see for sure. Here's just another observation. We'll circle back. I definitely have some thoughts on Tyreek Stevenson, the corner they picked in the second round. We'll get your take on him here in a minute. But just like a 30,000 foot view observation, Alyssa, the Bears did not, you know, Darnell Wright was the only offensive lineman they selected. They did not select any interior offensive lineman. So we're rocking with Cody Whitehair and Lucas Patrick or some combination of the two at center, right? So that I think was an interesting little tidbit to come out of this draft.
Yeah, that surprised me, especially because I think it was right when the Bears traded up to 56 where they took Tyreek Stevenson. John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota was on the board, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yep.
Oh, it's happening, guys. Here we go. They're going to get their center. He's there. And then they ultimately opted to pass on him, which, you know, a little disappointed. But when you look at last year, I think the Bears drafted like five offensive linemen compared to one. I think you really saw, I think that tells a lot about how they view the roster and where they think the weaknesses are. I think they're very comfortable with that offensive line in general. The starting line, I think it's set at this point. Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Cody Whitehair, he has $14.1 million cap hit, so he will be the guy, but Lucas Patrick will be that key reserve along the interior. And then you have Nate Davis, who they brought in during free agency, and Darnell Wright. So I think that they're feeling really good about this offensive line that I think is going to do a hell of a job run blocking, as we saw last year. And now it's also about shoring up the pass protection for Fields. So, I mean, I think they're feeling really good. Ryan Poles said that, you know, he does feel good with having those two veterans and Whitehair and Patrick there. And I mean, when you look at the offensive line, the starting offensive line in general, it's a young group. So you really do need a veteran in there that's going to be able to kind of keep things together. So I think that Cody Whitehair is that guy. He has been that guy. He has 2 years left on his deal, and they're going to get the most out of him. When he was at center where he last played in 2020, you know, he was good, but he wanted to move to guard. So when he got his contract extension, he would get a little bit more. So now he's back to center. I think it's going to be good for the Bears. Would have loved to have still seen them draft someone like John Michael Schmitz, especially when he was right there, Ryan. He was right there. I'm like, all of my favorites are falling.
Yep. Yeah,
falling to the Bears.
Giants, but Giants fans are happy that he did, yes, fall to them. The Bears made that decision.
Yes, they are. But I mean, when you kind of look at this offensive line too, I mean, compared to where it was last year, it's a hell of a lot better than it was last year. And I feel like this offensive line will give Justin Fields an opportunity to really take that perhaps Jalen Hurts level type step forward.
I like the sound of that. Then that's what we're hoping for sure.
Please don't put this on freezing cold takes.
never. No, I would never do that to you, Alyssa. So I think, you know, with John Michael Schmitz, I agree with you. I put him on here too. I just thought center and edge were two positions that I would not have been surprised at all if the Bears drafted one of those or both. They obviously did not do that. What they did do is trade up for Miami corner Tyreek Stevenson at 56 overall. So with this kid, I think this might qualify as the Ryan Pohl surprise for me, just because if you read up on Stevenson, the consensus seems to be a little bit all over the place from what I've read. Maybe more of a boom or bust type of pick. Alyssa, Sports Illustrated called him a lottery ticket, which I thought was interesting. So a guy that could just completely become a stud, or a guy we could be calling a bust in a few years, right? CBS Sports called him a risk. So it's also the first player Ryan Pohl has traded up for on day one or day two since he became the GM of the Bears. I thought that was interesting. And again, you have John Michael Schmitz. It's just a, he could be a day one starter, or just like you put him behind Cody Whitehair and all of a sudden it's like you're in business at center, right? You've locked that position down. So interesting move to go up and get this corner that was not like a consensus stud at this spot in the draft. I found it to be a little bit of a Ryan Pohl special, if you will. Not calling that a bad thing, but what do you think about Stevenson?
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Yeah, that does qualify as a surprise pick. Because, I mean, I don't think the position was a surprise because, I mean, cornerback is a premier position. And, you know, it's something that we knew the Bears are going to target. But when you look at them taking Stevenson and not only taking him, but trading up to get him, I mean, I think I'm noticing a trend with a lot of these draft picks. There's actually a few, obviously, like the RAS score, the relative athletic scores, they're all above 8. But also something, a couple of other things. One, again, he was someone from the Senior Bowl. Darnell Wright was at the Senior Bowl. Like, I mean, Zach Pickens, I believe, was. So there's some other picks, at least, that were at the Senior Bowl. So then you look at Stevenson. He's somebody who can play multiple positions. I mean, he played in the nickel against his wishes at Georgia. But he's going to be someone that I think is going to line up outside opposite Jalen Johnson. And maybe now you get to see Kyler Gordon exclusively in the slot. So I think that it was a little bit of a surprise pick, but I think that he fits the mold of what they are looking for. And I mean, it really speaks a lot to the fact that they moved up to get him where they did. So, I mean, yeah, it was a little surprising, but I think that you got a starter at a premier position. So I'm actually very pleased with the pick.
Yeah, I like how you put that. Like the fact that Ryan Pohl's, you know, identified the player he wanted, went up and got him. All right, now we're gonna trust our GM that he knows what he's doing, and he found himself a guy, right? So it sounds like this kid has the traits that you need. No one's saying that he sucks. They're just saying that might have been a little bit risky at that spot. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. Interesting to see how Tyreek Stevenson fits in that room. So here's another observation. Bears go running back wide receiver in the fourth round. So they, after, you know, kind of stock it up on defense a little bit, Alyssa, they go back to offense. And this kid, Rashawn Johnson, who we mentioned a little bit earlier out of Texas, I've seen him compared to the Patriots' Ramondre Stevenson. Fantasy football players out there probably know exactly who Stevenson is. He's a kind of a stud, does everything. So I don't know. I love drafting backs early on day three. I think that's a great spot to do it. So Rashawn Johnson from Texas, I have no problem with that. And I also wanted to get your thoughts on this Tyler Scott kid from Cincinnati, the wide receiver. I mean, if you Google him, you'll see everyone using words like speed and explosive, right? So that's what the word is on Tyler Scott. Love it. Maybe he could help the Bears hit some big plays in the passing game this season. But the first player I thought of when they made this pick was, isn't that a little redundant with Velus Jones? You know, Velus Jones is a guy that hasn't really caught on offense much. They've tried to get him more involved, Alyssa, but they haven't really succeeded. So Velus Jones was like, guy, I'm like, Tyler Scott, he sounds a lot like, you know, the scouting report we got from Velus Jones when they brought him in a couple years ago. So tell me a little bit about those two players, that, in your opinion, Rashawn Johnson and Scott.
I absolutely loved what Ryan Pohl did on day four and choosing to go out and add more weapons around Justin Fields. That was something that I said that I wanted him to do. And you kind of look at Johnson and you look at Scott, and they are two players that not only do I think have the potential to be late round steals for them, but they're two guys that I think have been brought in to replace a couple of veterans that are currently on the roster. I mean, I think that, you know, Johnson is someone who he was my sleeper pick. He was my, outside of Darnell Mooney, I think that Rashawn Johnson was my favorite pick in this draft. And Ryan Pohl even said, I was shocked that he was still available there in the fourth round. And I mean, he's just, I think he's a three down back. He can do it all. He's a former quarterback. And I'm trying to imagine all of like the fun wildcat trick play stuff
there you go.
That the Bears can do with him and Justin Fields. And yeah. I mean, it's exciting because like we talked a lot about the possibilities, Ryan, of, oh, maybe they draft Bijan Robinson, right? His former college teammate. And it's kind of like, okay, well, this is the guy that you mentioned Bayless Jones, in my opinion, had the misfortune of being behind Bijan because yeah. I'm trying to,
if he's anywhere else,
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't goes on day one,
the roster at this point,
or day two at the very least.
So I know it's a little early.
I'm excited to say that, but I mean, I wouldn't be also surprised because
I feel like he's an upgraded version of David Montgomery. I think he's a great runner. It's down there. Back,
but he brings something,
especially like looking at Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney, two guys
don't, and that's in terms of last year's deal.
Tyler Scott is a very Darnell,
because that was the biggest thing when David, where if the Bear, you know, because we know right now Darnell,
especially with pass protection and that ankle injury,
we don't know how quickly he's going to be back this offseason.
So I think Tyler Scott is definitely someone who
I feel like really excited to see.
I feel like how quickly
Mooney he can kind of,
it'll be really interesting to see,
because it's
going to
come down to,
because I mean, Khalil Herbert has, you know, there's only one ball and there's a lot of players to go around.
But he's never been the guy.
But this is still a committee.
They're
going
to continue to pound the rock.
But I do think that Johnson's,
it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. But I mean,
Scott is just a speedster.
Then you have Dante Foreman who's coming in here and he's like, well, I want to be the guy.
And I'm like, oh, damn, we got a real battle at running back here. But
I do think at least by the end of the season, I think benefit from having a great quarterback moving forward
at Cincinnati. So now imagine when you have Justin Fields, who is someone.
And then you look at Tyler Scott,
who is really good at throwing the deep ball.
He's someone where, contrary, a lot of people didn't get to see that.
Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney,
last year their rookie deals. You mentioned Bayless Jones already, which he is just falling down this depth chart. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make the roster at this point. I mean, I know it's a little early, premature to say that, but I mean, I wouldn't be entirely surprised because of everything that they've done to upgrade at wide receiver. It's insane. But especially like looking at Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney, two guys who, this is the last year of their deal. Tyler Scott is a very Darnell Mooney-like pick, where if the Bear, you know, because we know right now Darnell Mooney's recovering from that ankle injury. We don't know how quickly he's going to be back. So I think Tyler Scott is definitely someone who I feel like could eclipse him. I feel like they could move on from Mooney. It'll be really interesting to see, because it's going to come down to this season. And, you know, there's only one ball and there's a lot of players to go around. Not to mention they have a top running game, which they're going to continue to pound the rock. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. But I mean, Scott is just a speedster, Olympic level. And it's insane. He's going to present a vertical threat on this offense. And Justin Fields is going to love him. I feel like he didn't benefit from having a great quarterback at Cincinnati. So now imagine when you have Justin Fields, who is someone who is really good at throwing the deep ball. You know, contrary, a lot of people didn't get to see that at the NFL level yet. But when he gets a little time to throw the ball and let things develop, I feel like that's going to be a level to his game that we're going to see. And I think Scott is definitely going to be a beneficiary of that.
We're starting to see this offense kind of turn over a little bit, right? Like, let's just say like Foreman is the guy at running back to start the year, right? Him and Herbert in some fashion, with Johnson mixing in. Well, you got that with the running back room. Then you got DJ Moore, Darnell Mooney, and of course, Chase Claypool, right? Yeah, you're going to have to get those guys the ball. Cole Kmet is still here. He's been emerging. But you added Robert Tonyan, who Bears fans know is a pretty good little tight end from the Packers that the Bears have added. And then, you know, we've kind of talked about the offensive line a little bit with Darnell Wright stepping in at right tackle. I mean, this is the offense is, it's looking different, a lot different than it even did last year, Alyssa, right? A lot of turnover. It's going to be fun to see how that all comes together.
Yeah, this is the first time in a very long time, and it feels very weird saying this as a Bears fan, that I feel so much more confident about the offense and the defense. Because that's, yes, I mean, yes, obviously definitely. Bears fans know well, this has been a defensive team. Like, we've had really crappy offenses and really good defenses. Obviously, the goal is to make sure they're both good at the same time. But, I mean, now we're at this point where you look at how they've overhauled the offense, and it's hard not to think, could this be like a top, you know, couldn't they be a top 15, top 10 offense in the league, especially how they've upgraded at different positions. And if Justin Fields really takes that step forward, like we saw from Jalen Hurts last year, oh my God, this team is going to be fun. I'm not saying that they're going to go out and win the division or make the playoffs, but again, looking at what they've done in this offseason, in free agency, in the draft, and banking on Justin Fields taking that next step forward, they're definitely going to be in contention to make the playoffs. And I think they're going to be a really fun team to watch.
No doubt about it. Especially if we can add the vertical pass to our offense, very dangerous. The Bears have become very dangerous because they can run the football with their backs and their quarterback. Okay. So you mentioned the defense. The Bears did really hammer that on day three, right? Their last four picks, Alyssa, were all D. Depth at linebacker, depth at corner, kind of added a project at defensive tackle, and then more of like a hybrid safety linebacker type. So, you know, I don't know if we have to go through every single player. I don't know if there's one guy that sticks out to you that they got maybe in the later rounds, a couple of the seventh round picks. But I just found it, you know, interesting that they kind of said, all right, we're going to turn our attention back to defense and kind of start adding some depth and competition on that side of the football.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're doing this series on Bears Wire where we're doing like our favorite picks, our sleeper picks, our questionable picks, like all of that. And it's crazy because I have him as my questionable pick, but just because I couldn't find another one, and it was more about position than anything. And that was Noah Sewell from Oregon at linebacker. And I love the pick. I love it. But I only did I called it questionable just because you already had so much depth at linebacker, but this just further adds to it. And Sewell was someone who I think coming off of 2021, a lot of people had pegged as a first round pick, and you go out and get him in round five. And it's crazy. And now we're thinking, you know, Jack Sanborn, who was like the rookie darling last year and at the start of the offseason was the number one linebacker. You know, right now a lot of us think he's going to be the Sam linebacker, but I don't know, maybe Sewell challenges him for that role. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I love the pick. I think that was a surprise pick for me too. And I mean, a potential steal, I think, not to mention he's going to be playing with his brother, Penei Sewell in the NFC North. So now the Bears actually have a pair of brothers that both play for the Bears and Lions. So you have Equinanius St. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and now you got the Sewell brothers. I mean, it's a lot all in the family happening here.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that goes around. You know, I think there's a couple of Watts on the Steelers, right? There, yeah, you do see this stuff. Yeah, I think Sewell's he's an interesting guy. I like that pick as well. I mean, but he is kind of more of like an old school linebacker. He's not one of these small, you know, run around get end to end types. He's more of a big. Is he 6'3", 260 or something like that? In that range, he's a big dude. Could lay the thunder a little bit. You know, maybe help in the run game a little bit. Yeah, I liked Sewell. I don't know. What would my questionable pick be? Maybe it'd be Stevenson. I still feel like that one was kind of the surprise. I don't hate that pick at all, but I think that one is the most intriguing to me. I think it could either end up being like a home run or a bust. So we'll have to see.
See, questionable doesn't mean... Questionable doesn't mean you hate the pick. It's just right. Like, okay, I'm a little, that's interesting that you made that pick, right?
Yes, and yes.
So yeah, I mean, Sewell, I think I love the pick. It's just, again, because linebacker is a position you hammered out. And I mean, I think it's simply a case of, hey, best player available too, right? And not only that, you have extreme depth now at the linebacker position and, you know, things happen. So, I mean, it's nice to really have that and have another special teams guy. So, I mean, I like what Ryan Poles did in this draft a lot because it wasn't like overly sexy, right? Where you have a lot like the Eagles had a really sexy draft.
They did.
Yeah. And you look at the Texans. I mean, like there are some like that, but Ryan Poles just checked off all of these boxes of needs and it was just a really smart draft altogether. And I'm really pleased. It's such a breath of fresh air. Like this is only his second draft and you kind of go back to the Ryan Pace. See, I knew I was going to make that mistake eventually.
I've done it a million times.
You go back to the Ryan Pace days and it seems like a completely different mindset where like Ryan Pace was somebody who wanted to bring out a lot of veterans and build a team this way and push all the money, you know, issues to the future. And you have Ryan Poles who has been very smart with how he's approached this offseason and, you know, not overreaching on guys or overpaying guys in free agency because he understood how that could impact them in the long run. And you see how he does this in the draft, which is getting great value on day three, you know, adding draft picks. And, you know, because one of the things that I really loved was going back to the Tyreek Stevenson pick when they had to trade that pick to the Jaguars to move up four spots. And then we had the Bears traded down from the fourth round to the very top. And Ryan Poles said he needed to make up for that lost draft pick. That's one of the big reasons why they traded back. And that's just like really good awareness where you don't want to waste the ability to get some of these guys that could be these gems that are going to develop for you. So, I mean, I think that Ryan Poles, how he's handled, you know, his first two drafts and especially this one, it's just really impressive. It's not overly loud. And, you know, I mean, you kind of look at though, a lot of these draft experts have the Bears having a top five draft class. I mean, you're not going to hear a lot about it on social media. You know, the Eagles got a lot of attention there, but it's just a really smart draft by Poles.
Yep. He likes to have numbers in his draft class, right? He likes to have big classes. He wants to add a lot of young rookies to the mix. He wants to push picks to future years. He's definitely been able to do that in short order. It's been pretty impressive. You know, like the way he's been able to stockpile picks and stock up for the next year. It's awesome. Yeah. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Ryan Poles. What was your grade for him on Bears Wire, Alyssa? Did you give him an A?
So yeah, we're doing overall draft classes. That's part of our thing. It's going to be coming out that
okay,
our grades
so we'll
are
have
on
to tease,
Friday.
We'll have to tease
so that. When I post this or when this is out, the grades will be up. So all of us are going to grade it. The lowest was a B plus. Okay. I gave the Bears an A. We had a lot of A minuses. I just felt like it was a strong group. I mean, there wasn't a lot that I was, you know, questionable about. The edge rusher thing, that's a position that they need to address. But I do respect the fact that he didn't overreach because the board wasn't falling that way. And so he just pivoted. He's like, okay, well, that's something where now I think they're going to go out in free agency and add a veteran, right? So, and that's something that will now be a primary focus, I think, in the next draft. So, I mean, I think he did a great job with it and getting, especially the value. I keep coming back to that on day three. It's just, you look at in the past and some of these guys that they've gotten as well, like even last year, Jack Sanborn was undrafted. And right, he became a starter on this team. So, I mean, I just was a really big fan of how Ryan Poles went about his business. They knew their needs. He went out and got the players that he needed that are going to fit his team, what they're looking for. And I mean, I think it, bravo, Ryan Poles. Obviously, we have to wait to see how these guys are going to pan out like in 3 years. But when we go consensus, like right now, grade, initial draft grade, I give them an A.
All right. I love it. And like we said earlier, we're now through the draft, Alyssa. It was a lot of fun, but we're through it. And now what are you looking forward to now? Schedule day? That's coming up in, you know, a week or so. Is that what you're, yeah. Are you looking forward to that? Like what do we look forward to now that we're behind the draft?
Yeah, I definitely think the schedule is the next big thing. And rookie mini camp is this weekend. We have OTAs, veteran mini camp, and then we have a nice long break before training camp where it all begins again. It's going to be fun.
Gets here before you know it. So for Alyssa Barbieri, I'm Ryan O'Leary. Definitely check out the whole crew's great work on Bears Wire. But, you know, folks on Bears Wire, the contributing writers, they can give the Bears a B+, but Alyssa's the boss. So they get an A for this draft. They absolutely get an A.
And just, I want to also shout out my amazing team on Bears Wire because the work that we all put in, we had over the 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we had over 95 posts that we'd published between that time.
It's incredible.
We had like over 4 million views. I mean, it was insane. I could not do this without them because there's so much and how quickly it goes on. And they're brilliant. And there was on day two where I think it was, there were picks on top of each other. I think it was the Stevenson and the Pickens one. And it was happening so quickly. No. I'm sorry. It was a Dexter and Stevenson. It was happening very quickly. Everyone was on top of it, got it done. I mean, just like A+ work from my team. So very, very lucky to have them.
Yeah, the articles go up on Bears Wire almost immediately after the pick is made. It's incredible. I don't know how you guys do that. And, then as a consumer, you could just go on there. You can click on the article. There's no pop-up in your face. There's no anything. You could just read the article. You don't have to log into anything. You just click on it, read your article, read about the player, move on with your life. It's a great product, as I'm sure people listening to our podcast know, because we are the Bears Wire podcast. But if you've never been on Bears Wire, you should go check that out. It's a great spot to get Bears news right at your fingertips. And once again, for Alyssa, I'm Ryan O'Leary. Thanks for joining us. As always, we appreciate you. I think we'll be back. I think we'll be back before this offseason really kicks into full gear. We'll be back. Maybe we'll have to talk about the schedule, Alyssa. We'll have to do some of that before we go into hibernation. Until August.
We need to, Ryan. Yeah. We need to talk football.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're getting to the point where it's going to slow down. We will talk about anything, including the schedule release.
Yeah, I love schedule day. So we'll definitely do that in the near future. We will talk to you then.
Bear down.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.